In today about the leadership of Simon Peter. Amen. Our focus today is that God calls and equips leaders for unique times. The undeniable challenge of the church today is to equip this generation of leaders to evangelize the world and bring the church to full maturity. I know that our day is very different than the first century church. Your lifetime, my lifetime, we have seen more change than all previous generations. There's never been a time like this day. And yet, we have right now, through our church website, requests for Bible studies in India, Tanzania, parts of the United States. We can literally reach out from Athens, Texas, and do missionary work on foreign soil. Never been a day like this day. Never been a day like this day. We are averaging still at least 30 hits a day on our website. People just dropping in, listening to sermons. Amen. And who knows? So it's a great ministry. This is a wonderful day to be a Christian. Amen. We can reach out and witness and touch lives today like we've never been able to do at any time in history. And so it is fascinating. I know it's challenging and it's daunting sometimes. We have more means at hand today to reach out with the gospel than at any other time. And whatever you may believe, God has chosen you and I. He put us in this generation. He didn't call us to the first generation. He called us to the last day. And because of that, He has uniquely equipped the church to minister in this last time. So it's exciting to be alive today, isn't it? Amen. It really is. Focus verse, John 21:19. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify the Lord. And when he had spoken this, he said unto him, follow me. Isn't that amazing? The Lord said, now Peter, this is going to kill you, but I want you to follow me. It's going to cost you your life, but I want you to follow me. You're going to die like I'm going to die. Same kind of death, but I want you to follow me. That's not the way to win friends and influence people, as far as I know. Most people don't say, now I'd love for you to come to work here, but it's going to kill you. You're going to have to give your life if you work in this place. They'd have a hard time getting employed. Matter of fact, they'd rush right out and get a lawyer right away. Sue them. Close them down. Jesus was up front. He told Peter before he ever started. Told Paul the same thing, didn't he? He told him on the road to Damascus. He said, or when he sent the servant, he said, because he will see such great things that he'll suffer. God actually told Paul, he said, now you're going to follow me, but you're sure going to suffer while you do it. Did he ever? Amen. But they didn't quit, did they? And they didn't die as losers. Amen. They died with rejoicing and praise on their lips. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, we're getting close to the end of this thing. I don't want to fall out with loser's limp. You know what loser's limp is? Loser's limp is when you're losing the race and you start limping just so people think you have an excuse. It's not because anything happened. You just want people to feel sorry for you and think you have an excuse. I don't want to get loser's limp here at the last of the journey. Amen. I want to keep pressing on. No complaining, no griping. Amen. Let's just get it done. Now, I'm going to let you sit down right after this, okay? And then I'll have to stand to the rest of the thing. So you all feel sorry for me. Amen. John chapter 21, verse 15. So when they had died, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he said unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon Bar, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my sheep. And he saith unto him the third time, Simon, the son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whether thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whether thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify the Lord. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, Follow me. And then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on the breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? And Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? And Jesus saith unto him, If I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Amen. And so we're going to talk today on the subject then of leadership. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. Amen. The way you know if you're a leader or not is if somebody is following. If nobody's following, John Maxwell said, you're just taking a walk. You're not really leading. Adlai Stevenson said that actually being a leader is simple. He said you just find out where the people want to go and then you get out front and lead them. Well, that is one way to lead people. I think there are those who do that. There are all these opinion polls today that people are taking to find out how people feel, what people want, and then you find out what the majority of people want, and that's what you stand for. But those are not genuine characteristics of real leadership. I think people want to be genuinely led in a worthwhile cause. And we definitely have a worthwhile cause today, serving the Lord. Amen. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 22, verse 14, he said, Many are called, but few are chosen. Somebody else said, Many are cold and few are frozen. And there may be some truth to that. Amen. But many are called, few are chosen. And the longer I live my life, the better I understand that statement. I have observed through some 40 years of ministry that I have met so many people with so much potential who did so little with what they had. It's one of the saddest things to see. People that could do so much for God, and yet they do so little. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. I've observed folks, my, you talk about potential. I used to think that was a compliment. When somebody would say, my, he has a lot of potential. And then I learned, that's not necessarily a compliment. Potential energy is unused energy. It's stored energy. And it's not doing any good until you use it. The gasoline in your tank out there is stored energy, but it don't do any good till you turn the key. It'll sit there and go bad if you don't use it. The energy in the batteries in your flashlight, that's potential energy, but it doesn't do anybody any good until you turn on the button, turn on the flashlight. And then it's actually used for the purpose that it was created for. But if you don't use it, it'll eventually go dead. You ever tried to grab your flashlight and turn it on, nothing happens because you hadn't used it and hadn't replaced batteries? That was potential energy. And when it wasn't used, it just wasted away. I've observed that in life, that there are individuals who had so much potential, but because they didn't use it, it was wasted. And it's a travesty to see that. Amen. Now, lest you get just the negative here today, I'm preaching to people that you use your potential. And I appreciate that. Amen. This is the cream of the crop here today. Amen. Praise God. And so you can reach over and pat your neighbor on the back. Thank you for using your potential. Amen. You know, I appreciate people that just use what they have. They don't waste their time about thinking, well, somebody else could do it better than me. They just go ahead and do it. Well, maybe they could, but they're not. Amen. I know people that could do a better job than a lot of things, but they just don't do it. So, regardless of whether they could or couldn't, doesn't matter. Just do it. Amen. That's why the Bible said, whatsoever your hands find to do, what did it say? Do it with all your might. You just do the best you can. And that's all God will require of you. So many are called. God has called so many people. You know, sometimes we think, well, God, why are there so few people doing the work of God today? Well, He called a lot more. He called a lot more. It's not that God's so picky. That's not the problem. It's just that so few people are willing to accept the challenge of leadership. And so God does call. He calls a lot of people. But there are just not that many that are willing to do the job. Amen. Don't you appreciate people that'll just do the job? Amen. Well, I certainly do. Praise the Lord. Don't be shy. Just get with me here. It'll be all right. Praise the Lord. Amen. So the message is the same today as it was when Peter was out on the sea and he was fishing, and this guy, all of a sudden, he was teaching his bunch of people, and they kept crowding him until finally he asked Peter, he said, come over here a little bit. Let me stand in your boat. About to get my feet wet. And so he stood in the boat and he talked to people, and Peter got to hear his sermon. Amen. And then Jesus, to pay him back, he said, let's go fishing. And so he said, well, we've already fished all night, we didn't catch anything. He said, well, just come on, I'll show you where they are. And he knew, didn't he? Amen. So they cast out, and he said, now I want you to cast your nets on the right side. Amen. And they did. And the Bible says they caught fish until their nets broke. And they caught a great drought of fishes. And so God blessed them. And then after that, of course, while they're counting fish, dollar signs in their eyes, Jesus said to Simon Peter, follow me. And I'll make you to become fishers. And they did. They followed him. Some people say that leaders are born. And others say that leaders develop. I think it's both. We can be born with potential. You know, prisons are full of talented people. They're full of talented people. I read one time an article, a very interesting article, about some people that were trying to get an artist, a really good artist. And so they advertised for one, and you were supposed to send in a letter of qualification and then an example of your artwork. This is supposed to be a true story. I read it in Reader's Digest, so it's got to be true. And so this one fellow sends in a letter, and it didn't have a picture in it. And then it had a postscript at the bottom. It said, by the way, it said, my artwork is the stamp on this letter. So he drew the stamp, which, of course, is against postal code. Don't tell Brother Marshall. Amen. But he actually drew the stamp, and apparently it passed because they got the letter. So he was pretty good at his job, wasn't he? But there's a lot of people that have a lot of talent. And there are people that are natural leaders. You know what? Criminal gangs and thugs, you know, that's leadership. It's not good leadership, but it's leadership. Amen. You remember school, you know, when there's All the bad boys, they had a leader too. Bad girls had a leader too. Leadership. People are born with leadership ability. Some are. And there are others who don't seem to be born with leadership ability, but they become great leaders. I think that Peter very possibly was one of those who was born with leadership ability. A lot of people have a charismatic or an outgoing, positive, appealing, likable personality. You know people like that. They just seem to glow with this something. We call it charisma. And people are just automatically attracted to them. That is a gift. And it's potential. We have already talked about potential, haven't we? And so it's what you do with it. But leadership, there are certain qualities that God may give a person, but then a leader has to be honed and shaped and formed and developed. And that's a process. And that's exactly what we see in the life of Simon Peter, how the Lord began to fashion him and make him something that he was not. Jesus was like a master sculptor. He formed Peter into a great leader. John 1:42 said, "Thou shalt be called Cephas," which is by interpretation stone. Now Peter had three names, didn't he? He was called Simon, he was called Peter, and here we see he's called Cephas. Cephas is Aramaic. Peter is Greek. Simon is Hebrew. So they're all the same. It's just that one is an Aramaic name, one is a Hebrew name, one is a Greek name. So Peter then was called by three different names, but it's the same fella. Amen. And when I was a little boy, every now and then my mom would get real upset with me. I don't know why, but she would. And I knew I was in trouble if she ever called my second name. You remember that? I don't know if that ever happened to your house. As long as it was Johnny, I was pretty good shape. But if she ever said, "Johnny Darryl," well, I was in trouble. I knew it. I think it was kind of like that with Simon, or Peter. When Jesus said, "Simon Bar-Jonah," oof, he knew he was in trouble then. Amen. When he called him the son of Jonas, his father, then he said, "All right, Lord, what have I done this time?" Amen. But Jesus shaped Peter like a master sculptor. But the sculpting is, you know what it really is? It's the ministry of knowing what to take away. I love the story they tell about Michelangelo walking through a place where they had a lot of stone, and suddenly he stopped in front of a slab of marble, and he just suddenly just became so animated and excited. He said, "Wow, can you see it? Don't you see it?" And the fellows with him said, what do you see?" He said, "In that stone there," he said, "there's an angel struggling to be free. And you see the block rock." Amen. But as the sculptor took his chisel and his mallet and began to chip away the stone, when he finished, all the world could see the angel that he had set free. But in the beginning, only the sculptor could see it. I think that's true of how God looks at us. We look at one another. We may not see what God sees. He sees something different, doesn't he, than what we can see in one another. And so that's what he saw. He saw in Peter, great leader. He just knew that he had to take some things away. Boy, we don't like that, do we? I mean, like to lose stuff. No, we like to get stuff. We got the gimmies. Amen. Give me this. Give me that. Give me. Amen. Shake your head like this. That's about right, Pastor. Amen. But God's in the business of taking stuff away. You don't need that. Oh, Lord, I needed that. I don't know how I'm going to make it without it. Well, you'll learn. He's in the ministry of reducing, taking things away. Amen. And so, one of the things that Peter had to learn, and we have to learn, is how to submit to authority. Amen. How to submit to authority. That's a learned lesson. It's not a lesson that we can arrive at easily sometimes, but it's a lesson that we learn to submit to authority. Jesus admitted Peter to what we call the inner circle. Now, it's just a title we give because there were three disciples that were always with Jesus and saw things others did not see. Jesus invited three men to become closer to him, it seemed, than others. That was Peter and James and his brother John. And so Peter, James, and John were with Jesus. We call that the inner circle. So Peter was called to be a part of that inner circle. Amen. And one time, Jesus invited the inner circle, and they went with Jesus, and he saw things that others did not get to see. One thing that Peter said, Peter had these moments of brilliance, and then he had other moments. Peter really suffered from what we call hoof and mouth disease. You ever had anybody with hoof and mouth disease? Always getting their foot in their mouth? Amen. Open mouth, insert foot. Chew vigorously. Peter had that often. But let me show you what I mean. Jesus, he was with Jesus one day, and Jesus said, "Who do people say that I am?" And his disciples began to, one said, "Well, I heard somebody say that you're like Jeremiah." Another one said, "You're like Elijah." Another one said, "You're like John the Baptist." And then Jesus said, "But who do you say?" And I mean, Peter popped up. He got it right the first time. Did he ever nail it? Matthew chapter 16. Come on now. Operate with me. There we go. And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Peter did so good, didn't he? Amen. Now he got quite an attaboy here. "And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Wow! That was great. But you know what? That was verse 17 to 19. Now, look here. This is verse number 22 to 23. Jesus turned and said to Peter, "Get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me. Thou savest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men." Wow. What a come down. Amen. A few verses earlier, he said, "You're blessed of God. You've received revelation from God." And a little bit later, saying, "Call him the devil. Get behind me, Satan. You don't even have an appetite for spiritual things." What happened between those two verses? Well, it may be that Peter was feeling pretty good because the Lord complimented him, and he took too much on himself. Jesus then began to speak of his death, his crucifixion. And Peter took it upon himself to say, "Oh, Lord, no, no, no. I've already received this from the Father. You're not going to die." Remember how I've been getting stuff from God lately? And he told me that. Well, that's one of the things that make me nervous. I get nervous when people tell me that God told them to put Splenda in their tea instead of sweetener. You know, that makes me nervous. I don't think God cares about that. I don't think that makes somebody real spiritual. You know what I'm saying? God told you to buy Velasic instead of Best Mate pickles. I don't think he cares. I don't think he cares. But I've heard people, they trivialize God and spirituality. And Peter, he kind of thought that he had You know, he was really on with God here. And he took it upon himself to correct Jesus Christ when he spoke of prophecy and destiny. He found himself correcting God and trying to. And I mean to tell you, the Lord put him in his place in a hurry, didn't he? And you know what? Peter learned from that. I know people that would have been offended and said, well, if you're going to be that way, I'll just go follow somebody else. You ever met anybody like that? Surely not. Amen. But if you're going to follow God, you have to learn to submit to authority. Jesus learned this lesson very well and taught it so very well. The Bible says that he became obedient even to the death on the cross. He learned obedience, submitted to authority. Peter learned that lesson in this unique way. In Matthew chapter 17, the tax collectors of the temple came to Peter and they said, hey, has Jesus paid his taxes? Now, according to their tradition, Jesus would have been exempt from taxes because he was a religious teacher. All religious teachers were by the fact they were a religious teacher exempt from taxes. But here they are telling Peter that Jesus has to pay taxes. And Peter didn't know. He said, well, yeah. Amen. And then he comes and tells Jesus about it. And, of course, Jesus teaches him this magnificent lesson by teaching him that he didn't owe the tax. Number one. He said, but listen, Matthew 17 and 29, he said, notwithstanding, lest we should offend them, go thou to the sea and cast in a hook and take up a fish that cometh first up. And when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take that and give unto them for me and for thee. So Jesus said, there's a time you pick your battles. Jesus could have argued over that. He could have won the case. But there are some battles that are not worth fighting. Isn't that right? There are some hills that are not worth dying on. Amen. There are some things it's just not worth the time it takes. Just go ahead, pay it, and get on with it. Amen. There are some arguments that are just not worth having. I think that's what Jesus was talking about when he talked about not casting our pearls before swine. There are some people that just love to argue. They don't really care about what they're arguing about. They just want to argue. And if you're not careful, certain people can take up so much of your time just foolishly. And they can get you so disturbed and frustrated, it's not worth the time. So Jesus said, rather than get caught up in a bunch of controversy here, just pay it. Amen. And go on. Get about your way. Amen. And so he taught him a lesson then in submission. Peter learned the lesson. He later wrote this in his own letter, 1 Peter chapter 2. Peter wrote this. He said, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be to the king as supreme, as unto governors, or as unto men, them that are sent for the punishment of evildoers, and for the praise of them that do well. For so is the will of God, that with well doing you may put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. So Peter said, we obey laws, and we put up with things whether we agree with them or not. Amen. He said, not to please men so much, but as to serve the Lord. Amen. So there are some things that we just put up with because it's the right thing to do. It affects our testimony. Amen. Praise God. I said it It affects our testimony. And it's important that we have a good testimony, isn't it? Amen. Praise the Lord. And so he learned to be submissive to authority. And that was a very valuable lesson for Peter to learn. And then to be a good leader, we have to learn to serve. Everybody say to serve. It's not hard. Well, I guess for some of you it is to be served. But it's not. We have to learn generally how to serve others. Growing up as a child, amen. And if you've ever been around a new baby very long, you know who serves who. Amen. And they do not care about you. They don't care if you sleep. They don't care if you eat. They don't care about your schedule. They don't care what you're supposed to be doing, what you want to be doing. They don't care if you're reading. They don't care if you're sleeping. They don't care what you're doing. You are there to serve them. Amen. You're supposed to feed them warm bottles, change their seat covers, anything else they want. Amen. Pick them up. Put them down. Talk to them. Don't talk to them. And you have to figure out what it is that they want. They can't tell you. They just scream until you figure it out. Amen. And you are servants. It's, God makes them cute or we'd kill them. There's not a baby in the world that would have survived had they not been cute. Amen. It's amazing how that works, isn't it? Amen. And you've heard the saying, beauty is in the eye of the beholder, and that's true. Because there's some I would have killed anyway. But not mine. Uh-uh. No siree. Only perfect one ever saw. Amen. All right. But serving. We learn to serve. And the greatest motive of service is love. When you serve out of love, that's true service. If you serve just to get something back, that's not really service. And so many people, you know, they learn to manipulate. If I do this, I'll get that. So their motive is not service, but their motive is to get something returned to them. But when you simply serve out of love, you serve because you want to. Amen. Praise God. And so that's the true motive of service. The Bible said Jesus riseth up from supper. Now see, there's a good supper. There's a southern word right there, supper. Baby. I like supper. I get, if people invite me to dinner, I always clarify that. Now, you mean noon or later? Supper. He rose up from supper and laid aside his garments and took a towel and girded himself. After that, he had poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Simon saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus saith unto him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. So Peter had seen a lot of things. He'd watched Jesus do stuff that was puzzling. He watched him go into a service and do something that kind of disrupted the service. I mean, right in the middle of the service, he cast the devil out of a fella. You know, that's pretty exciting, don't you know? But it disturbs stuff. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so, and it did disturb people. And then he watched him go in the temple. And he walked over and he started kicking over tables. These guys, you see what happened is people would come from all these different countries and they would have money from these different countries. And they would have to exchange it into Hebrew currency so they could pay their temple tax. Well, these unscrupulous people would charge them an exorbitant rate of exchange to change their money from whatever their currency was to the temple tax money. And so they were thieves, really. And they had literally set themselves up right inside the temple. And these people that come from long ways off, they couldn't bring a sacrifice, so they'd buy one when they got there. And so people that sold doves and lambs and rams for sacrifices, they'd actually move right inside the temple. And so when Jesus got there, he was kind of upset to see a bunch of cows and sheep and doves and money changers and all this stuff going on right inside the temple. And he said, My father's house, it was to be called a house of prayer. He said, you've made it what? Den of thieves. And so he started kicking over the tables of the money changers and grabbed him some cords and made a whip and started driving animals out of there. It got exciting, I'm telling you. Don't you know Peter's eyes are about that big then? Whoa! What happened to Mary's little lamb? And he drove them out of the temple. Wow, exciting. Those were symbols of authority and power. Amen. Now, the same end of the day, and all of a sudden, they're in there. You know what they were doing? The Bible says that the disciples were arguing about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And Jesus comes in and says, he just goes over quietly and gets him a towel, tucks it into his belt and gets him a basin of water, and he goes over to the first disciple and sets it down, picks up his dirty stinking foot, puts it in there and starts washing it, picks it up, dries it with a towel, goes over to the next one. You could have heard a pin drop. All of a sudden it wasn't about who's going to be the greatest. Comes to Peter, picks up his big old foot, and he said, oh no, oh no, you can't wash my foot. You're the Lord. I'm the servant here, Lord. I can't let you do this. You see, he learned the lesson, didn't he? He got it. But Jesus said, if I don't wash your foot, Peter, you can't have any part with me. And so Peter, being Peter, he said, well, Lord, don't stop with my foot. I mean, wash me from head to toe. Amen. If a little dab will do you, he said, let's go a whole hog. Amen. That was his attitude. Once Peter got it, he got it. Amen. And then Jesus taught him the lesson, didn't he, about servitude. He said, you want to be the greatest? He said, the greatest will be servant to all. The measure of our greatness is servitude. That's how you prove how great a servant you are, is by how many you serve. And the attitude, not only the attitude, but the motive. Why do you serve people? If you serve people so that you can win favor, and people in the long run will do something to you, or even you serve people, if I serve them, they'll like me. But what happens if they don't? You've got to learn to serve people just because you love people and because you love the Lord. Amen. How many people have I seen get really hurt and upset because when they did something for somebody, it didn't turn out like they thought it would? Or that bunch of ingrates? And they get all upset. You know why? Because you serve the wrong motive. But if you serve with the right motive, you're not upset because you're just serving out of a heart of love, passion. Does this make sense to anybody here today? Amen. If you're serving that way, you don't get upset because you truly served. You weren't expecting anything. You were just serving people. That's your job. It's to serve. Amen. And so, service then is an important factor of a leader. Amen. And then Peter learned to die. Notice the word to die with Christ. Let me get it here. Maybe in a minute. That's not where I wanted to go either. I have no idea where we're going, but anyway, we'll get there. Peter learned to die with Christ. Now, you have to learn to die with Christ before you can die for Christ. And I need to back up just a little bit. Okay. What do we mean by to die with Christ? Well, what got Peter in trouble was he was still following Jesus, but he was following from afar off. He wasn't following closely. He wanted to keep Jesus in sight, but he didn't want to be associated with him. He wanted to observe what was going to happen, but he didn't want to be involved in what happened. So he was just watching Jesus to see what happened to him. But he had fallen back as far as his leadership. And so he was not ready to die with Christ. Amen. Now, Peter made this bold statement again, got his foot in his mouth. After the supper, washed his feet, had the last supper, feeling good about himself, great servant. And all of a sudden, Jesus again starts talking about crucifixion and dying. And Peter said, all these fellows, they may forsake you, but not old Pete. I'll be ready. I'll stand right with you. I'll be there till you die. And Jesus said, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night. For it's written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep will be scattered. But after I have been raised, he talks about his resurrection here, I will go before you to Galilee. But Peter said to him, even if all are made to stumble, yet I will not. And Jesus said to him, assuredly, I say to you that today, even this night, before the rooster crows thrice or twice, you will deny me three times. But he spoke more vehemently, if I have to die with you, I will not deny you. And they all said likewise. But Peter started it. And so the Lord said, Peter, before the rooster crows, you're going to deny me three times. And still he said, no, I'll die first. Well, we know the story. That's not how it happened, was it? So this was before the arrest in the garden. They hadn't even left the garden yet. So there. And then they go and they get to the garden, and Jesus is arrested, taken from their midst. And Peter's following Jesus, but real far off. And he got to the gate that led to the courtyard of the high priest, and that's where he stopped. And there was a fire there, and he went in to warm himself. Just an earshot, what was going on, just so he could kind of know what was happening. And while he was there warming himself at that fire, remember the girl comes by and says, that's the Galilean. I saw you with Jesus. And Peter said, no. Must have been somebody looked like me. It wasn't me. And then she comes back again and said, I know I saw you with him. He said, Not me. I know him. Third time, she comes by. And then the Bible says he begins to curse him. And he says, I don't know him. And just as the words crossed his lips in the far distance, he crowed the crowing of the rooster. It hit him in the heart like a hot knife. The Bible says he stumbled out of the courtyard, found him a place and wept bitterly. But it was in that brokenness that Peter found ministry. You can never minister for Jesus Christ until you have been broken. You cannot minister for Jesus out of arrogance. You cannot minister for Jesus out of intellect. You cannot minister unto Jesus simply by talent. There's got to be a brokenness at the bottom of it all. There's got to be a place that you sell out and that nothing remains. And when Peter found that place, ministry was born in his heart. And until you find that place, true ministry cannot be found. Peter, after Jesus' death and after his resurrection, Peter went on to become the great leader. He just became the leader. And he began to be recognized in that matter and in that manner. Amen. Peter gave up everything to answer the call of leadership. Luke 18:28, Peter said, "Lo, we have left all and followed you." He did. He left his boat. He left his business. He followed the Lord. He did. He paid a price, didn't he? Amen. He really did. Now, after the resurrection, I think Peter's a different man. There's a lot of things the Bible doesn't go into detail about. We don't really know. Paul mentions that Jesus and Peter had a private conversation. I don't know what happened in that private conversation. But Peter seems to be a changed man at this point. He seems to be a broken man. We don't see the arrogance there anymore. And he's a different fella. So was John. So was James. They're different now. And so at the end of this, you know, Jesus resurrected. Remember, he was on the earth for 40 days. 40 days. 40 days, the disciples were a little bit disillusioned. They were kind of in a limbo. They didn't know what to do. They didn't know what was going to happen. Jesus was there some of the time. He wasn't there some of the time. That closeness that they were used to, camaraderie that they were used to wasn't there. It's a new day. It's a new experience. Jesus would appear and then he'd disappear. And the disciples were in this limbo thing. And so finally, one day Peter said, "I'm just going fishing." When you don't know what to do, just go fishing, I guess. That's a doctrine and a new doctrine. I founded a new doctrine. No. So Peter said, "I'm going fishing." The disciples said, "Well, I'm going to go with you, Pete." So they went back to fishing. Amen. But once you have been touched by Jesus and he puts his anointing on you, fishing won't cut it. So they went fishing. Such a similar story. They fished all night long. The Bible said they didn't catch a thing. Amen. I've learned that fishing's like shopping. Similar. You can fish and not catch anything. And I wish people would learn that you can shop and not buy anything. I wish some people's shopping trips was like my fishing trip. I wish we could learn the lesson of catch and release. You know? I'm one of those people that can pick something up, carry it around for a few minutes, and put it back. But I've learned some folks, that's why you don't get a basket. To get a basket, you can just keep throwing stuff in there. You have a basket, you carry it around, and you said, "I'm tired of carrying this. I don't need that." I'm giving you some help here today. If you can receive it. Amen. And so Peter says, "I'm going fishing and catch anything." They row back towards shore. Jesus is on the shore. He already has fish cooking. Isn't that amazing? They couldn't even catch anything. And here's the carpenter on the shore. He's got fish going on the fire. Amen. And they get closer. He just hauls out and he said, "Hey, y'all catch anything?" He said, "No, we didn't catch nothing." And he says it, like he said it the first time. He said, "Hey, did just row right over there, he said, and cast your nets out, and you're going to catch a whole bunch. Well, they said, it's the Lord. And they rowed out, learned their lesson. But the Bible says this time their nets did not break. You know why? Because they mended them. Amen. And if we keep losing, we need to mend our nets. Now, that's another message. I wish I had time to get into that, but I don't. But we will at some point in time. So they caught the fish. They come in. I mean, they caught fish. Matter of fact, Peter said his boat sinking. He said, hey, somebody help me. Somebody rolled over and they started throwing fish in their boat till it started sinking. I mean, they caught fish. I don't mean minnows. I mean fish. Biggins. Amen. Kind that usually get away. And they caught them, rolled ashore, and they're over there, oh man, and they're counting fish. It's exciting. Wow. Maybe I can go back to fishing. After all. Amen. Peter's counting fish. And the Lord says, hey, Peter, you love me. He said, well, of course, Lord. You know I love you. And he's counting fish. And he says again, he said, Peter, you love me. Well, Lord, you know I love you. He's counting fish. Peter, you love me. And he just kept saying, feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. Amen. Don't fish. Feed. Feed my lamb. Feed my sheep. So, he got the message, didn't he? It took a while. And he finally got it. Amen. And Peter finally, he gave it all to him. Amen. He finally got the lesson. And he finally learned. And he gave it all. Peter's such a fascinating leader. Peter had the charisma to derail the Christian movement if he had wanted to. He could have. People do it all the time. There are Christian ministries that are not about Christ at all. They got sidetracked because of a strong leader. And it's more about the leader than it is about Jesus Christ. It's more about the man than it is about the mission of Jesus Christ. It happens all the time. Peter could have done that, but he did not. He did not. He kept the focus on Jesus Christ. And he never lost sight of his mission. Amen. Now that's real leadership. Amen. He learned how to serve and lead through servitude. He never set himself up on a pedestal. Amen. He learned some valuable lessons. I've got to kind of hurry here to finish up this, but I think this is also important. Though he was exalted and accepted, he preached the first sermon at Pentecost, didn't he? 3,000 people got the Holy Ghost on the first day. That's pretty good. Mildwater revival. Amen. And then he opened the door to the Gentiles. Then he was the first one to preach at Cornelius' house, and he and his whole house were saved. I mean, Peter was on a roll. He was so prayed up and prayed through that he could walk down the street and his shadow would fall on somebody and they could be healed. I mean, the guy's got a ministry going here. But you know what? Even though he had a ministry going, he never hung up a plaque saying, Simon Peter Ministries. He didn't do that. He just kept serving Jesus. Serving Jesus. Serving Jesus. Serving Jesus. Amen. But here's one of the great lessons of a leader. Can you receive correction? As great as Peter was, he made a mistake. Can you believe that? But he did. Peter was one time, he was at this in Antioch, and he was eating dinner with Gentiles. He's a Jew, and he's eating dinner with these Gentiles. And the Jews that looked up to him, well, they also started eating with Gentiles because that's what Peter was doing. But you know, his cronies, his friends, his contemporaries from Jerusalem came down. And all of a sudden, Peter wouldn't eat with the Gentiles anymore. He just wanted to eat with the Jews, the chosen ones. Boy, when Paul saw that, whoop, hair stood up on his head. The Bible says he went right over to Peter and he rebuked him right to his face. Wow. Who are you, Paul? I'm the first apostle. I preach at Pentecost, man. Don't you know? Don't you know who I am? No. Peter understood. He said, you know what? I'm wrong. I shouldn't have done that. Paul, you're absolutely right. It takes a big person to admit they're wrong and submit themselves. Peter did that. Even when he was at the apex of his ministry and his notoriety and his popularity, he never let that stop him. Amen. My, what a great leader he was. Learn to submit and be submissive still when he was corrected. The last days of Peter, we really find through historians, we don't have a biblical record, but according to some historical writers, Peter was in Rome at the same time that Paul was there. It was during the persecution that arose at the time of Nero, about in July of 64 AD. And when Rome burned, and Nero was looking for a scapegoat, and so he blamed it on the Christians. And as a result of that, both Peter and Paul died. Now, Paul was a Roman. Because he was a Roman, he could not be crucified. So he was beheaded. Peter, on the other hand, had no protection because he was not a Roman citizen. And so he was hanged on a cross like Jesus was. Now, tradition says, this is tradition, it's not scripture, so take it for what it's worth. But according to tradition, Peter, when he was crucified, said, I want you to hang me upside down because I'm not worthy to be crucified like my Lord. Whether he said that or not, I don't know. But that's what we're given as far as tradition is concerned. Amen. So Peter gave everything. He was a great leader. He even knew how to lead even to death. Now I'm telling you, friend, when it comes to dying, amen, that's when your leadership really counts. If you can die well, amen, if you can die believing in what you taught others, that's when the proof is in the pudding. Amen. Peter did that when it came right down to paying the ultimate price. He said, I'll pay it. And he gave his life. Amen. My, what a leader, Apostle Paul. Amen. Let's stand together. Apostle Peter, I'm sorry. What a great, great man. Amen. We could go on and on and talk about him for a long time. But what an example for us here today. Why don't we look to the Lord and ask him for help today to be good leaders in whatever realm and whatever influence we have. Jesus, we ask you today to help us, each one, to be good leaders. In my home, help me to be a good leader. In school, help me to be a good leader. When I'm in the marketplace or on the job, help me to be a good leader. Wherever I am, whatever I do, help me to understand that discipleship is a 24-hour job. There's not any time off. Wherever I am, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. whatever I'm doing, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. When I'm alone or when I'm in a crowd, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Whatever I do, wherever I go, whatever I say, I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. Help me always to be a worthy representative, and help me, God, to serve you well in great leadership. I thank you in Jesus' name. Everybody said amen. And let's worship the Lord, shall we?
I will enter His gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter His courts with praise. I will say this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice for He has made me glad. Yes, He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. Rejoice, for He has made me glad. He has made me glad. Oh, He has made me glad. We rejoice, for He has made me glad.